This is the last of an Advent series of sermons where I focused simply on passages from Isaiah. The observation that I've made is December for Christians is a very split experience. On one hand, the church calls us to be quiet and keep watch and wait. And on the other hand, we are assaulted from the culture with all the commercialism. And almost all of us have certain kind of family dynamics that ratchet up the intensity and draw our attention elsewhere. But here, anyway, at least for the period of the sermon, I wanted to only keep focus on Isaiah. Why Isaiah? You may remember that Isaiah, for many centuries of the church, was called the fifth gospel because so many of the words and phrases clearly, to the eyes of faith, point later to Jesus. And so, in particular, I've been paying attention not only to the passages of Isaiah, but then also to the O antiphons, which we see images of the O antiphons reflected on the banner. And that's where I want to pull our attention today. So the very first time, well, I mentioned all along that Isaiah can be broken pretty cleanly into two parts, 1 through 39, which talks about the historical Isaiah, who was around about 700 B.C., and then 40 to 66, which is the end of the book, most of which takes place during the Babylonian captivity, around 550 BC. So Isaiah, historical Isaiah, is long dead. There's a person or a group of people who is preaching and prophesying to a new situation using Isaiah's language and images. And so the first time we looked at Isaiah 64, which talked about one of the basic themes of Isaiah that ties those two halves together, which is hurry and wait. Hurry to be righteous and to do justice. Wait upon the Lord to fulfill what the Lord will do. The next week, we looked at two images. We looked at one from 1st Isaiah, the image of right by Tanner's head of the stump that brings forth a new branch, so the new life of Jesus that is both new and deeply rooted, like a stump with roots deep into the ground, rooted in the family going back to Abraham and David and so on. And then also we looked at the very beginning of 2 Isaiah, comfort, O comfort ye my people, and the rough places will be made plain, the idea that even though the people are in captivity, God will rescue them, comfort them, bring them home. Last week, we looked at, first of all, the key of David, a peculiar image from Isaiah chapter 20, initially about a guy, Eliakim, who can open and no one will shut and no one will open. But then we saw at the end of that passage that he collapses and is no longer able to fulfill those responsibilities. And those responsibilities of opening and shutting become fulfilled in Jesus. What I didn't point out to you last week is that that very passage from Isaiah is quoted in the book of Revelation, referring specifically to Jesus. So he fulfills that. Then we also looked at chapter 61, where Jesus, in fact, uses that quote as his own mission statement at the beginning of the Gospel of Luke. One of the great compliments I've gotten ever for preaching was Linda Danford came out of the 10 o'clock service and said, I went and saw the Messiah a couple of nights ago, and all of a sudden I got it. I could hear these things in a new way, which is exactly what I'm hoping for, is that this work roots these things for you. Today, our O antiphon, which is represented by the sun over there, is this. O morning star, splendor of light eternal, and sun, S-U-N, of righteousness. Come and enlighten those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death. Now, that O antiphon has two passages from Isaiah that are woven together, one from the first half and another from the second half. Will you please grab your pew Bible and turn to page 555? And on page 555, we are at Isaiah chapter 9. And Isaiah chapter 9 is a poem that comes right after a prose passage, the prose passage where we get today's lectionary reading about Emmanuel, God with us. And as you may remember, Emmanuel, God with us, is a baby who's actually born. His name is Hezekiah, and he in fact eventually becomes a great king. When he is born, there is such a celebration that Isaiah writes an anthem, which we get in chapter 9, and it begins famously, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined." At the time that Hezekiah was born, the people were in great darkness. They were surrounded by the Assyrians, and not only that, not only were they surrounded by the Assyrians, but their brother nation, the nation of Israel, the northern half of the Jews, had betrayed the people of Jerusalem and those who lived in Judah. So they were literally surrounded on all sides. It was a period of great darkness. And into that period of great darkness, there was this beacon of light, this baby, Hezekiah. Now, Jesus is then born later in a time of great darkness, and he is like the rising sun, or morning star, or in an image that I love, day spring, the day spring from on high, the new day that is springing forth, the fresh dawn, the beginning of the light. That's a very resonant passage for those of us who live in the northern hemisphere, because as you may know, Thursday was the very shortest day of the year, and now we're going longer and longer days, days where there is more and more light, as we can experience the light of Jesus in a very real way each day. Personally, to be in a relationship with God and with this baby Jesus who is being born is to be open to a new beginning. Behold, God says, I make all things new. A new day, a new baby, light once again. So that's half of the O Antiphon. The other half comes from Isaiah chapter 60. So please turn in your pew Bibles to page 602. And on page 602, we're at the very beginning of chapter 60. You'll notice the next chapter, of course, is 61. That's the passage that we considered last week. But here at the beginning of chapter 60, again, words that may be familiar to you from the Messiah, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you." So it's the great contrast between darkness and light. And again, to start with the historical situation, the people were in the darkness of captivity. They were off in Babylon, not home in Jerusalem. And part of the message of Isaiah, particularly the second Isaiah in Isaiah chapters 40 to 66, is get up! Get going. The light is back. Don't hold back the light anymore. Show it forth. Now, Jesus picks up on this light image. Please turn to page 812. Page 812, excuse me, that's not right, 870. And page 870, we're in the Gospel of John. And we have chapter 8. One of the most famous stories about Jesus, with the woman caught in adultery and all of the men about to stone her. And he says, "The one of you who is without sin, cast the first stone." And of course, nobody does. And right after this event, in chapter 8, verse 12, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus associates himself utterly with light, not darkness. But there is a further step, always, in interpreting Scripture. We have the historical passage, the one from Isaiah. Now we have how it is fulfilled in Jesus. But then how does it apply to us? Please turn to page 786. On page 786, We are in the Gospel of Matthew on page 786, and we are in the Sermon on the Mount, where it says in chapter 5, beginning on 14, words not about Jesus, but about us. You, Jesus says, are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Here we have the light not just of the day spring, the morning star, but the light of noon, the light where all is revealed and clear. This is the brightness in which we are invited to bask, but not only to bask, but to show forth to the rest of the world. Is it too far of a stretch to imagine that we too are in a dark time where the light of the world is required? And because we are in relationship with the light of the world, we too can show forth light into the world in this dark time through our Lord Jesus. Amen.